Okay, so you should have your outline. You can turn to the section on right below Judah's descent into sin, which starts right here with chapter 18 through chapter 23, that bullet point. And the first item on the bullet point, or the first several items on the bullet point below there, is relative to Hezekiah, chapters 18, 19, and 20. And as I mentioned to you last week, just for your own study, you can find almost comparable recordings of Hezekiah's in 2 Chronicles chapters 29 to 32, and especially Isaiah 36, 39. Because you'll see as we read it here from 2 Kings, we'll see Isaiah is on the scene here in 2 Kings. And so Isaiah was a prophet, a firsthand connected with this time of Hezekiah and following him. So we can continue to study the totality of Scripture. We're going to concentrate right now on the recording in 2 Kings, chapter 18. So we'll begin on that. I did put the Hebrew, or the name, for in English we pronounce it Hezekiah, but it's nothing like that in Hebrew. Let me see if I can pronounce this. I wrote it here in English letters with the Hebrew characters. And basically his name means strengthened of Yah, of God, of the Lord. So that's where his strength comes from. And that was recognized in his name. But as best I can pronounce his name is Kiz-Ki-Yah. Kiz-Ki-Yah. And that's Hezekiah in Hebrew. So if you find the Hebrew Jewish people who may be talking about this character, you may not hear Hezekiah. You may hear Kiz-Ki-Yah. And so we'll be talking about that. Like I say, from chapters 18 to 20. So I've got a kind of a list of things that I picked out of these three chapters. I will probably still read it. I know that I'm kind of conflicted by whether I read everything and then talk about it, or read and talk. So if you guys have any suggestions on how better to teach through this, I'd appreciate it. But I think it's important. I think we've talked about this before. You know, our knowledge of the Word, our understanding of the Word, comes by reading and hearing. And so every way we can hear it or hear someone else guide us and teach us, hopefully it can be helpful. So that's what I try to do, and so it's important to read the Word. I know it gets kind of monotonous in reading some of these things, but I think the account of Hezekiah is pretty interesting. So we'll read most of these three chapters and see if we can get through it this morning. I'm going to start with the first point, so I'm going to read the first three verses of chapter 18, and then I want to point out the thing I want to specifically emphasize out of these three verses. In the third year of Hoshea, now Hoshea, we talked about last week, was the last king of the northern kingdom of Israel, and he was taken into exile. And so in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, Hezekiah, son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. And we generally think that was around, let's see, this chart seems to show 716 BC. And he reigned for 29 years, which it'll tell us that here, and that would take it to 687 BC. And so that's the time frame. So he actually begins his reign, I believe, according to this, after Hoshea has ended his reign in Israel, the northern kingdom, and has been taken into captivity, which was emphasized in last week's, in chapter 17 particularly. So anyway, let me read on here. In the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, Hezekiah, son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. His mother's name was Abijah, daughter of Zechariah. This is the important phrase that I want to emphasize, verse 3. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, Yahweh, just as his father David, so he was compared to David's faithfulness, had done. He removed the high places. This is something I think I've mentioned along the way. Many of even the good kings of Judah did not fulfill removing the high places, the false worship places. But Hezekiah took it that one step further, and he removed the high places, smashed the sacred stones, and cut down the Asherah poles. He broke into pieces the bronze snake. This is interesting. I didn't remember reading this before, but I don't know how I missed it, but this is interesting. He broke into pieces the bronze snake Moses had made. For up to that time, the Israelites had been burning incense to it. So they were, in effect, using it as part of their false worship. It was called, and what was called, Nehushtan. And that what word is seems to be bronze, the meaning of that word in Hebrew. So let's talk about this a little bit. If you remember from the book of Numbers, in the wilderness journey, Moses leading the people through the wilderness, and they became disgruntled, and they began doing things they shouldn't be doing, and they started dying. The Israelites started dying in the wilderness. And so Moses, I'm just going to have you turn, if you can hold your place here in 2 Kings, to Numbers, chapter 21. Numbers 21. Verse 9. I'm just going to read the one verse, and then we're going to talk about it from something from the New Testament, too, to connect these points. In verse 9 of chapter 21 of Numbers, let me just read from verse 8. The Lord said to Moses, make a snake. This was the remedy, I guess I'd call it, the remedy to the problem. So the Lord gave Moses the instruction to make a snake and put it on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live. So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, he lived. Very interesting approach, because bronze snake, we would think, would almost be an evil type of thing. But God told Moses to do that, and so it worked. It saved the people that looked upon this snake up on the crossbeam. Now, this is why in the book of John, I'm going to have you turn to John 2, John chapter 3, and put these things together. In the Gospel of John, John wrote about this. I believe he's the only Gospel writer that wrote this. And it's in a very important spot in chapter 3. We all know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's verse 16. But you go up before that in verse 14, where it says, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. So just as God provided the way out for these people that had disobeyed him and so forth, to look upon that bronze serpent in the wilderness, Jesus became a like image of that salvation. And so it's mentioned in the gospel as well. So putting those pieces together, I just think it's important to understand this in light of what's recorded here that Hezekiah did. He had them remove the bronze snake. It's not needed anymore. Moses had made, for up to that time, the Israelites had been burning incense to it, which is really an act of worship, and they shouldn't be worshiping the serpent by any means. So anyway, that's the first point I want to make, that he did what was right in the Lord's eyes, and he was compared to David in that regard. And then he even took it a step further than many of the other good kings, removed the idols, including the bronze snake itself. Now, as I read on in verses 5 to 8, it's the second word here in verse 5 that I have. Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, Yahweh, the God of Israel. There was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, either before him or after him. He ranked pretty high in God's word on what he accomplished, what he did. Verse 6, he held fast to the Lord, Yahweh, and did not stop following him. He kept the commands the Lord had given Moses, and the Lord was with him. This is another example. When you follow the Lord and you do what the Lord desires, there's blessing that will come with it. And so Hezekiah was blessed, and the Lord was with him. And we'll see how he was blessed. He was saved from the enemy, several different things. And the Lord was with him. He was successful in whatever he undertook. Can you imagine being successful in everything you do? Kind of a show of hands, who believes that they're successful in everything that they try? So that's pretty honorable. However, he rebelled against the king of Assyria and did not serve him, which is also good. He rebelled against the Assyrian king, Sennacherib. From watchtower to fortified city, he defeated the Philistines, kept fighting the enemy as far as Gaza. I think we know that name from current news, right? It's still a problem area. As far as Gaza and its territory. Let's see, I think so that was just the emphasis on how did Hezekiah respond to the true God, to Yahweh. He trusted him. And can we, I'm just going to throw this question out, can we trust God in the worst of times?
Absolutely.
And I would say that's when we need to. I mean, if you ever, the bad times you've had in your lives, where else do you turn? There's no hope without the Lord and the provision that he's made for each one of us. So. All right, then I'm going to read from verses 9 to 12 next. And this is a reminder of what happened to Hoshea, the king of Israel. In King Hezekiah's fourth year, which was the seventh year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, marched against Samaria and laid siege to it. At the end of 3 years, the Assyrians took it. So Samaria was captured in Hezekiah's sixth year, which was the ninth year of Hoshea, king of Israel. The king of Assyria deported Israel to Assyria and settled them, and we've heard this before in earlier reading, settled them in Halah, in Gozan, on the Haber River and in the towns of the Medes. This happened because they had not obeyed the Lord their God, but had violated his covenant, all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded. They neither listened to the commands nor carried them out. You know, we can say, well, the northern kingdom of Israel, all the kings disobeyed God and continually did. Why did God wait until Hoshea was king? Well, it's all in God's timing. I tried to emphasize that last week. I mean, and I was trying to relate it to what I believe is going on even in our country today. You know, when we are out of relationship with God as a people blessed by God, you know, God may put up with it for a time. He may allow things to happen. But we'll see, by allowing those things to happen, we see how decrepit the country starts to become. And the results of that, we see the rioting, we see the anti-Semitism, we see all these things that we see in the news continually, if you follow the news. But I believe it's, this is my view, it's part of God's judgment. God sends warning signs. He did back here, I think he does today. And if they're not corrected by, you know, who he's directing it to, there will be ultimate consequences. We don't know how long. God waited over 200 years with the northern kingdom of Israel. The kingdoms were split, and we usually date it 931 BC, which is when Solomon died, and the two kingdoms split. So 931 to 722 BC, little over 200 years, God put up with all these bad kings because none of them were righteous. None of them did what's right in God's eyes. But he continued to show them grace and not afflict them with punishment. But enough's enough, and that's always the point. We never know when the bucket's full. You know, you can picture sin being like, well, if you catch rain in the bucket, if you get more and more and more of it, it'll overflow. And at some point in time, God intervenes. And that's what I believe happened here with the northern kingdom and will happen 100 and some years later with the southern kingdom of Judah. And so, but this is a reminder of that. So, verses 13, reading on here, verses 13 to 16, Hezekiah, after Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, had taken the northern kingdom and had moved down in Judah towards, headed towards Jerusalem, we see the threat coming. But let's read about how King Hezekiah tried to ward it off. And so he gave some booty, I'd call it, to the king of Assyria in order to try to encourage them not to come against the southern kingdom. In the 14th year of King Hezekiah's reign, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, attacked all the fortified cities of Judah and captured them. So Hezekiah, the king of Judah, sent this message to the king of Assyria at Lachish. I have done wrong. Withdraw from me, and I will pay whatever you demand of me. The king of Assyria exacted from Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. So Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the temple of the Lord and in the treasuries of the royal palace. At this time, Hezekiah, king of Judah, stripped off the gold with which he had covered the doors and doorposts of the temple of the Lord and gave it to the king of Assyria. So he tried to ward off the attack of the Assyrians by giving them a payoff.